Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Each morning while praying for many of you, beloved saints, specifically, I ask the Lord to give us and to give you faith. Lord, help our unbelief. The apostles prayed to Jesus. They requested, Lord, increase our faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. I don't know about you, but I find great hope and joy in knowing that it is a legit prayer to ask the Lord, our Lord, to do what? To increase our faith. Remember, Jesus taught in John 15:5 that without me ye can do nothing. So in this abiding walk with Jesus, who has saved us into his eternal kingdom, while we sojourn upon the earth as strangers and pilgrims who are passing through, this is not our home, we can find great blessing in simply asking the Lord to, quote, increase our faith. Luke 17:5. That's what the apostles requested of the Lord. And notice they were not rebuked or turned away. The Lord said he will give wisdom liberally or generously to those who come to him and ask, James chapter 1 verse 5. So we read in Mark chapter 9 of a man who's crying out to Jesus to deliver his son from an unclean spirit. The boy was obviously possessed of the devil, and his father was crying out for Jesus to deliver him. He trusted in the power of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, Christ himself, that all, not some, but all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Therefore, go ye. That's the end of Matthew 28. Notice all power is in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. So we read in Mark 9, in this passage of this father crying out for his son. You can read the whole passage again, Mark 9, 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, when he requested of Jesus for deliverance for his son, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's another promise from God, straight from the mouth of the Alpha and the Omega himself, Jesus Christ, that if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Notice, all things are possible to him that believeth. God puts a premium on us having faith in him. Now, for me to explain as a mere human being exactly why God requires that we have faith in him, well, I just can't explain that. But we know it's a fact because we see it in the words of Christ and his apostles that God requires faith. He wants us to trust him. He wants us in this abiding relationship after he saves us into his kingdom to walk with him, to abide and to trust him like a child trusts his father. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, he's the answer to anything you're seeking, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And I believe as we seek the Lord in his strength and we seek his face continually, we're going to be blessed to be filled with the faith of God, to walk with him and trust him in times of need, cry out to him like this father here is doing in Mark 9 when he says, Lord, I believe. Now he said this, quote, with tears. He cried out in a time of need. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's Mark 9:23 and 24. Notice, help thou mine
unbelief? Are you fully believing God and walking in the faith that you desire to walk in? The fullness of believing God easily for everything? Well, if not, you're like me and you need to cry out like this father, Lord, I do believe. I believe in you. I love you. That's why I'm coming to you. I'm not going anywhere else but to you. I'm not going to anyone else except you. Now, Lord, I believe. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, fill in where I'm weak. Didn't Paul say, when I am weak, then am I strong, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Doesn't this sound, this passage, akin to Paul crying out to the Lord when he was given by God a thorn in the flesh, or he allowed Satan to buffet Paul, that is, beginning in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Now, does God use Satan? Well, that seems pretty apparent here, as it did in the life of Job. Somebody has noted that Satan is God's monkey. Lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul was allowed and blessed to suffer, lest he fall into pride and be separated from God by his pride, just like Lucifer was. Now, isn't that interesting? Lucifer, who is Satan, was kicked out of heaven for his pride, Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19. For this thing, Paul said, I besought thee thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And God's answer was what? And he said unto me, God said, and Jesus said, actually, and he is God. Red letters, though. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, or in your weakness, I'm made strong. So my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, I'm not going to take away this thorn right now because it has a purpose in my kingdom and in your life as I am regulating that life and guarding over it with you. My grace is sufficient. In other words, I'm going to see you through this suffering, this season of trial and temptation and affliction that is totally unjust, and yet I'm using it. I'm allowing it to bring about my glory, because all things work together for the good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose, to conform us to the image of Christ. That's Romans 8, 28 and 29. So Jesus didn't say, okay, I'm going to take away this thorn in the flesh. He says, I'm going to give you grace through it. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, he replies, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses and the things I suffer as a child of God to glorify him, that the power of God, of Christ, may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in mine infirmities. I joy in these infirmities because they're working the glory of God. They carry with them an eternal weight of glory, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Now, let me just say this and confess my own weaknesses. For many years, when I was suffering, I would say, why are you allowing this, God? Why? I'm your child. I want to be used by you, and yet you're allowing these things. Well, it's because God has a greater work to do. Jesus said, when you bear fruit, I'm going to purge you so that you bear even more fruit. So, beloved saint, if you're suffering unjustly, or what would seem to be unjustly, and is in the sense of this world, it may be because you are born again and submitted to Christ, and he's pleased in your life, and therefore he's purging you so that he can bring forth through your life and in your life even more fruit. So this is a time to gain perspective, biblical framework. John 15, 5. Get to know that verse. You're going to need it. You can stop and go, wait a minute. These things are happening to me because God is blessing me to be submitted to him, and I've chosen to agree. I am crucified with Christ, and so he's been pleased to bear fruit in and through my life, and now he's doing a deeper work so that even more fruit can be born in this life that he gave, and that is his life. Amen. Again, that's John 15:5 perspective. I used to cry out, Lord, why are you allowing this? But when we squared up with the word, we scratch our head and go, now I see what he's doing. This is actually victory. And we can throw our hands and hearts up to heaven, to the Lord afresh, and thank him for that work that he's doing in us so that he can work more mightily through us for his glory. And so we gain this perspective that Paul came to realize, that God's grace is sufficient for him in these times that God allows suffering in our lives. His strength is made perfect in us. That's when Paul could say, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12, therefore I take pleasure, I rejoice in these infirmities, because he knew the glory of God was being wrought in his life and through his life. In another place, Romans 5:3, the apostle says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience in these tribulations, as we seek and trust God, and perhaps many times cry out, Lord, increase my faith. That's a great prayer. It's sanctioned by God. Luke 17:5, that's what the apostles prayed. Knowing that tribulation, he glory in tribulation, knowing that what tribulation worketh patience or perseverance, and patience experience. This is all good fruit. And experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So Paul had the kingdom, the biblical, the mind of Christ in these sufferings. So did Job. Job 13:15, after Job had suffered horrendous things in his life, Job 1, he said, Lord, though you slay me, even if you kill me, yet I will trust you. I will have faith in you. I will trust that this is your perfect will to glorify you in this life and beyond. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Now, that's Job 13:15. I want you to memorize that and meditate upon it and realize, saints, we need faith. We need faith that is beyond what we can conjure up. And that's why we should pray, Lord, I do believe, in as much that is humanly possible, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, fill in, Lord, where I am weak. I know that you are strong. Remember Galatians, the words of Paul that we so often cite and love. Galatians 2:20, notice there's a part of this I want to point out here in this message. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, for now on earth till we're with him, I live, notice this, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the faith of the Son of God is part of the resurrection. When we're crucified with Christ, the resurrection reciprocation by God is to fill us with the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. Isn't that interesting? Notice, not my faith, because that could only go so far. Paul says, as he's crucified with Christ, he lives. This is the resurrection part. Death and burial must precede resurrection. When you submit yourself to God in the death and burial with Christ, Romans 6, etc., then you're able to live by the faith of the Son of God. What a blessing. Isn't that what we see here? This beloved man who's crying out to Jesus for his son says, Lord, I believe. Yet he says, help thou mine unbelief. Fill in where I'm weak, O God. Don't you know God honors that prayer? As the Apostle Paul declared that when he was weak, then he was strong. Again, 2 Corinthians 12, when I am weak, then am I strong. Verse 9 and 10, and he said unto me, God, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee in this suffering, in this season, in this time of need, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, or in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, Paul says, in in mine infirmities. I'm going to glory in them because when I'm weak, He is strong in me. What a blessing. What a paradox that we need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding in, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul is taking joy, as we should, in the power of Christ resting upon him. And that's coming by way of his own weakness and trusting Christ, whose strength is made perfect in our weakness. But it's got to be in that faith relationship where we're crying out, Lord, I believe, I love you. Help thou mine unbelief. Fill in where I'm weak and where I lack, because you are God and I am just a man. I am just dust. And in my very best state, you said in Psalms, I'm altogether vanity, but with you, Lord, and I know you're for me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Then I am strong by your resurrection power, raising me up out of the dead and buried, the crucified disposition and life. Therefore, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12, I take pleasure in infirmities. I glory and joy in these infirmities. In my own weaknesses, as I surrender, I fall into you, O Lord. I let go and I let God. I take pleasure in my own weaknesses, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in times of need, having great need of the necessities of life, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now we have to realize that in order to have the strength of God's divine power working in us, we've got to become weak. God requires it. That's why Jesus said to follow him, you've got to do some things, and that's deny yourself. That is, disown yourself to the one who made you and saved you. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. When you're taking up your cross, you're crucified with Christ and thereby reciprocally raised up in that resurrection response from heaven, raising you up into places you cannot go, into power that you cannot be possessed by until you are willing to truly submit yourself to God, which means to fall into him, to surrender to him, to be crucified with Christ. Remember, the cross, being crucified with Christ, is not trying harder. It's not dragging around some piece of wood to show everybody that you're taking up your cross. That seems a bit self-centered, doesn't it? But a surrender. Don't try harder. Just die deeper. Lord, I surrender all. What a great song that is. I surrender all. All to you, Lord Jesus. I surrender all. Singing the songs of Zion that God has blessed the body of Christ with is such a great way to surrender afresh, to offer our lives a living sacrifice to the Lord, to cry out with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, the man cried, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Mark 9:23 and 24, and also again, Luke 17:5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Would you be willing to pray that today? We're going to pray that together here in a moment, saints. Remember, God has called and commanded us to trust him, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to ask him, as we see in Luke 17:5, to increase our faith. That's a valid biblical prayer that Jesus did not rebuke. Lord, increase our faith. And how about this other prayer that we are talking about in this passage in Mark 9:23 and 24? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I can tell you by experience that my life has continued to be changed for God's glory when I pray in dependence upon him to help thou mine unbelief and to increase my faith. In fact, I pray that for each of you that I lift up each morning with great joy by name before the Lord. Lord, increase my faith, increase our faith right from the Bible. The Bible is your prayer list and your prayer guide. Just pray the word for those you pray for and for yourself. Instead of just praying for yourself, pray it for a list of believers, disciples of Jesus, and God will answer all of that for all of them. And those prayers would include, help thou mine unbelief. Fill in where I'm weak. When I am weak, then your strength is made perfect in me. We are weak, but he is strong. As the song said, so simple, so profound, laying right before us with the opportunity to pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So one commentator, actually the Believer's Bible Commentary, says the following of the Luke 17:5 cry to increase our faith from the disciples to Jesus. This is a commentary on Luke 9:23 and 24 from the Believer's Bible Commentary, which reads, the Father expressed the paradox of faith and unbelief experienced by God's people in all ages. As he cried out to Jesus for his son, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, fill in where I lack, O God. And he continues, the commentator, we want to believe, yet find ourselves filled with doubt. We hate this inward, unreasonable contradiction or unreasonable contradiction, yet seem to fight it in vain, unquote. So instead of fighting the unbelief, let's ask the Lord to increase our faith, I believe is what that commentary is actually and rightly getting at. And that's what true faith does. It trusts God, not self. Personally, I've tried to struggle through self-correction or doing right. Maybe some of you have experienced that. And then finally, you just go, this isn't working. Something's wrong. All right. Then you just throw your heart and your hands to heaven and you say, Lord, I believe, I trust you, I love you, but Lord, help thou mine unbelief. This is all biblical prayers. Into your hands I commend, I submit, I release my spirit. I just stop right now and surrender to you. Lord, I pray with John the Baptist that you must increase, but I must decrease, O God. Let that increase from you begin now in Jesus' name, as you help thou mine unbelief, as you increase your faith in me, in Jesus' name. So another commentator on this passage says, help thou mine unbelief. That is, he says, assist me against it. Contradict, in other words, my unbelief. Give me a power to believe, unquote. Another commentator notes the following to the Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He says, a prayer that all can pray with great profit. What a blessing. And if nothing else, saints, this message right here that we're engaging in, we're discussing from the Word, is going to put something in you as it did me that's going to change your life. The increase our faith, that's Bible, three words, Luke 17:5. Is available for you and I to pray to God at any and all times. And after you hear this message, because it's the Word of God, the words increase our faith, it's going to change your life, because you're going to have that word in you and that hope in you to know that you can stop wherever you are and say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You can stop wherever you are and say, Lord, increase my faith. And he's going to answer that, because he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given to him or to you. And ask in faith, and it's going to be given to you liberally or generously. James 1:5-8. God doesn't like us walking in unbelief, and we need to depend on him and to say with Paul that when we are weak in our infirmities, he is strong. 2 Corinthians 12. We need to take Jesus at his word that he gave to Paul and to us when he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, which is infinite divine power and strength, is made perfect in weakness. Don't you know God delights to have a relationship with us and to be there to bless us? So God doesn't like unbelief. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But wait, brother, somebody says, we're talking about people who lacked faith. They believed, but they lack faith. Yeah, but he's saying a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that would be the man who just stops at, Lord, I'm struggling, I don't have enough faith, and doesn't pray, Lord, increase my faith. Fill in where I lack. That would be probably a good definition for this double-minded man that James speaks of. Again, the Holy Spirit inspired all of Scripture, and it's only upon collating or comparing Scripture with Scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:13, that the fuller picture begins to emerge. Straight from God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little, Isaiah 28. So a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what does the double-minded man need to do? Notice again, verse 5, James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There it is. Wisdom or faith. And watch this. That God that giveth to all men liberally or generously and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, what does it tell us that so freely the writer of James, the writer filled with the Spirit, tells us that God delights to give liberally if we'll ask him? Notice the word ask. That's pivotal. Ask. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Don't just sit there. Ask. He wants you to depend on him. Like a little child who throws his arms up. He doesn't yet walk. His the little girl or boy, the age of the several-month-old child that does not yet walk. And so they have to throw their hands up to their parents to pick them up. Don't you know that's what God wants us doing throughout our lives on earth in dependence upon him? If any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He doesn't rebuke us in asking him, in relying upon him. He upbraideth not. He delights in that dependence. That's what it's all about. Relationship, faith, and trust. And it shall be given him. There's the promise right there. If you ask, Jesus said, you shall receive. Matthew 7:7. Then it says, but let him ask in faith. James 1:6. In faith, nothing wavering. Even if you're asking for faith, as we read in the Gospels. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, how are we going to not waver? Well, let's take it from Mark 9, Luke 5. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's how we do not waver. That's how we act in and ask in faith. For let not that man, the one that wavers and is stuck in unbelief and doesn't pray, pray, Lord, increase my faith. Doesn't pray, help thou mine unbelief. So, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, one that's not believing and full of faith, is unstable in all his ways. God does not like, have you noticed, unbelief. Notice again, Hebrews 11:6. This is going to be completely important for your life to the end, as you endure to the end, as you abide in Christ. Notice Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Notice the premium God puts on faith. He wants us to trust him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God. Are you coming to God? If so, how are you coming to God? Are you coming like the man who was trying to get Jesus to heal his son? Are you coming like the apostles who, when Jesus preached to them, he told them things that they knew were impossible for them to accomplish and walk in outside of his help, and they stopped dead in their tracks and said, Lord, increase our faith. The man that was trying to get Jesus to heal his son stopped and said, Lord, I do believe. That's why I came to you, but help thou mine unbelief, O God. Now you see the trust factor in that relationship with us and God as we actually pray. We let our requests be made known unto God. We pray without ceasing. Notice the tautness. I think it's T-A-U-T, the tension in the rope or the relationship, the thing that keeps you connected with God in this faith walk, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't just believe initially. We live by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and not by sight. We don't live by our own ability and live independently from God. We live connected to God and with God in that relationship, and it's through faith. That's what we're seeing here as the overriding divine principle being given to us here. We're to trust God. We're to walk with God. We're to depend on God. We're to cry out to God. We're to ask Him for everything, understanding that without Christ, we can do nothing. Do we really begin to comprehend that? John 15:5. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. In this abiding relationship with Him, this life we have with Him, in vital union with Him, these are essential components to that abiding life. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Get that picture. He that abideth or dwells in vital union with me, in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. How many want to pray today in a moment that God blesses us to abide in him so that fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, as we read in John 15, will be the product or the produce of our lives? For without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. Again, he speaks of the utter dependency we have on him. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible, notice, just taking God at his word, to please him. If I'm not walking by faith, I'm not pleasing him, because it's impossible to please him when I'm not trusting him. I'm rather trusting myself to work out some situation, to produce something in myself. That's unbelief. That's looking to the wrong source. That's not setting our affection on things above, but on ourselves. We are weak, but he is strong. We have to reach our arms up like a little 6-8-month-old child in utter dependence on him. Help thou mine unbelief, O God. Teach me to walk with you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hey, you're coming to him because you know he's the answer, right? Let your request be made known unto God. Philippians 4, trust him. That requires praying to him, relying upon him. And that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That sounds exactly like we're reading in the Gospels. They came to Jesus because they knew he was the answer. And they cried out to him for more faith. And he rewarded them because they were diligently seeking him. They came to him. That's the victory right there. Let me read Matthew Henry's commentary on this passage here in the Mark 9:23-24, again, where the father of the child that was demon-possessed came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I do believe, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And the fact that he came to Jesus proved that he believed, he had faith, that Jesus was the answer. In light of this, Matthew Henry writes, the profession of faith which the poor man made hereupon, he cried out, Lord, I believe. I am fully persuaded both of thy power and of thy pity. My cure shall not be prevented by the want or the lack of faith. Lord, I believe. Matthew Henry continues, he adds a prayer, the man in need, for grace to enable him more firmly to rely upon the assurances he had of the ability and willingness of Christ to save and to answer. Help thou mine unbelief, was his prayer. Note, Matthew Henry says, number one, even those who through grace can say, Lord, I believe, have reason to complain of their unbelief, that they cannot so readily apply to themselves in their own case the word of Christ as they should so cheerfully depend upon it. Number two, those that complain of unbelief must look up to Christ for grace to help them against that unbelief, and his grace shall be sufficient for them. We find great hope in these passages here. Matthew Henry finishes, help thou mine unbelief, help me to a pardon for it, help me with power against it, help out what is wanting or lacking in my faith with thy grace, dear Lord, the strength of which is perfected in our weakness. Heavenly Father, we have read over and reviewed this portion of your word today, and we pray with these two beloved wayfaring saints of their day. We pray, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We pray now, Lord, that you would increase our faith. And Lord, we pray this on biblical, on your authority, and we know and believe it's going to happen. With men, as you said, Lord Jesus, it is impossible, but not with God. God, for with God all things are possible. In the name of Jesus Christ we ask. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.